This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Good morning. Nice, beautiful spring morning, isn't it? I asked a friend what I should talk about, and the friend said, "Why don't you talk about love?" And I thought, whoa, big topic. The other four-letter word, it's in our media, in our literature, eros, agape, all relationships, it's all over as a thing that we're interested in, wouldn't you say so? And then after that, I was invited by the Tri Ratna Sangha, who just left yesterday. They had a week meditation here. Tri-ratna means ratna means a jewel, three jewel sangha, formerly called Friends of the Western Buddhist Order, and they were here for a week. And a very strong practice group, and I was invited to one of their talks, and lo and behold, this talk was about love. About metta, loving kindness, and I'd actually like to incorporate some of the teachings that I heard from that teacher. Share that with you today. And yesterday I played golf with. I confess, I played golf with a couple of friends. One of the friends is a psychologist, a therapist, who works with individuals, but also does couples therapy. And I asked him. We had lunch after our golf game, and I asked him, "What should I talk about?" I asked both of them, "What should I talk about?" And Jim, psychologist said, "Why don't you talk about love?" So I'm stuck. I have to talk about love. And it's kind of a theme. Jenna actually spoke about it, and it's a big topic. You brought up many aspects of it. And it's spring, it's April, so shall we talk about love? Kind of a loaded, dangerous word, isn't it? One thing that Jim said to me that intrigued me was he said that people think that love is a feeling, a special feeling. And he said that love is not entirely a feeling. Before and around that feeling, he used the word, it's a discipline. So thinking about love as a discipline, I had a little trouble with that word when I heard about it, because discipline sounds like a a job, doesn't it? A bit, it sounds like work. So I thought about that word for a while, and I thought maybe a better word would be a devotion, which is kind of a discipline, but it's a specific attention that is applied to a topic, a thing, a person. To be devoted to something. Is that love? Is that what love is? Jim said something else, and of course this is something that's, since he deals with couples having issues, this is something that's very much in his mind. He said, as we talked about this a little bit more over lunch, he said, love is connectivity. Love is connectivity, is connections, is connecting, is, well, relation, relationship, meeting, with devotion. I have something else that I'd like to propose too. Not that I have any definitive definition of what love is or what the experience of love is, but our sixth ancestor, Wenang, in the Platform Sutra, he was talking about one practice samadhi. Samadhi means, the root of samadhi means unity or connection in itself. Sometimes samadhi itself is actually defined as one-pointedness or meditative absorption or settling on something, settling with something. So our sixth ancestor, Wenang, said, one practice samadhi means at all times, whether walking, standing, sitting, lying down, practice or be with things with a straightforward mind. A straightforward mind. This term, straightforwardness, was also a term that, as it's translated to us, that Vimalakirti used to define the place or position of awakening, of enlightenment. At all times, be with, practice with a straightforward mind. Maybe this doesn't sound, in effect, what in first glance what love is, but to be with someone, or to be with an experience, or to be attentive to a situation or place straightforwardly, I think could be a definition of love. Here's a couple ideas of what straightforwardness might mean. In our practice tradition, we have a way of practicing called Shikan, practice just as it is, or sometimes it's translated just for itself. That doesn't mean it's exclusive. That means practicing just for the practice experience itself. In other words, we oftentimes, in much of our lives, in our relationships, in our experience with things, we bring to it a kind of acquisition mind or a merchant's mind. We want to make a bargain. If I, in this context, if I practice a little bit, I will buy some peace. I will buy some settledness. If I'm nice to this person, that person might be nice to me in return. If I confirm that person, maybe that person in turn will confirm me, will acknowledge me. That is what Okamura Roshi calls a merchant's mind. It's a mind that's trying to make a deal, basically. That's not straightforward mind. Straightforward mind is shikan, for itself, of itself, just letting it be as it is. So I'm proposing that straightforwardness might be a definition of what love is. In other words, what true relationship, what true meeting is. Straightforward mind could also be understood as to directly meet someone, know someone, hear someone. Directly means no deviation, no side roads, no detours, but directly. Listen. Be with. Straightforward could mean to be clear, to not obscure what you meet or who you meet, to see and meet that person clearly as they are. Not with an assumption of what they are or what you want, but to see them clearly. Straightforward might be to be ready and to be curious, to be interested in what you meet, who you meet. And one more thing about straightforward. I think it also means to be vital. To actually, in our tradition, we call it virya, energy. There's another term, another Sanskrit term called paribhavata, which means to energize, to enliven, to bring life to. So I think another definition of straightforwardness, straightforward meetingness, is to be wholehearted, to bring your energy, your life energy, to it or to the other person. That's as far as I got with love. There's a lot more, I'm sure. But when I joined the Triratna Sangha and listened to this really wonderful teacher, he did what's called a Mahabhavata practice, a practice of invoking or bringing to mind or bringing to present experience loving kindness or attentive awareness to everything. And I would like to suggest that we give it a try. Would you like to try it? It's pretty common, so you may have done this before. It's what's called a guided meditation, or sometimes this is called applied meditation. So in the Zen tradition, you may say that our way is particularly pure in the sense that we don't focus on applied meditation that's given to a certain topic or a goal or a project, you could say. We just sit. That's called shikantaza, sitting just as it is. In the early Sangha, and now in the Theravada tradition and the Vipassana tradition, applied meditation or guided meditation is done on a regular basis. In the early Sangha, certain novitiates meeting with a preceptor, the preceptor would give that person an applied meditation according to their karmic conditions or according to their how they intuitively understood what this person needed. For instance, if the person was very flighty, they would give him what's called a kasina practice, where you look at a specific color or you look at a smooth place made in the ground so that the person could get more grounded. So these applied meditations were done as an antidote for certain unwholesome tendencies. So actually, you might call them even therapeutic or balancing activities within the practice. And the practice of metta, that was part of they were called kamatanas, these various practices, was often done for people that experienced a lot of aggression, separation, passion. They were called the apramanas or the brahmaviharas, these four aspects, and metta is the first one. So shall we try to do it? Okay, it's a interesting experiment in love, in let's call it applied love. So please get in a comfortable posture. Get yourself comfortable. In this practice, let's close our eyes so we can focus. So as we are settling now with our eyes closed, good posture, being upright and also relaxed, let's bring our attention to our body and mind here as it is, taking a few deep breaths and relaxing our body and mind. We can settle into the posture like a tree that's settling on the ground. We can feel with the base of our posture the sense of being on the ground and the roots of our existence going even into the ground. Our posture being upright like the trunk of a tree, and our mind and our awareness being spacious and open like the sky, like the branches of the tree extending into the sky. Within our posture, within our body and our mind, let us together open our heart, being aware of our inhalation and exhalation, letting our breath open our heart. You may have a sense of your heart being where it is anatomically, or it could be lower in your belly, it could be up in the conscious regions of your head, or it could be your whole body. But using your breath as a vehicle, find your heart, your heart's core, your heart center, and breathe with it. And with that open heart, with that generous open heart, bring loving kindness first to yourself, to your body and mind as it is, to all your aspirations, to the story of yourself. Bathe yourself with loving kindness, accepting everything. Use your breath to bathe yourself with loving kindness, with complete acceptance. Let it bathe your whole body. Now, with that open heart, with your loving kindness, extend that openness and that loving kindness to everyone here in the room. Extend that love to those next to you, to the whole circle, to everyone here. Breathing in and breathing out. Let your love bathe everyone. Now extend farther with the rhythm of your breath, with your open heart. Send out metta, loving kindness, to all beings, to everyone that you can imagine, family, friends, those you know, those beyond your knowing. Send out with your exhale, with your soft exhale, loving kindness to everyone, every person, to all creatures, all the plants, trees, everything. Now, taking a deep breath, bring to mind one person who is troubled or unbalanced or suffering. Or bring to mind one person who is a problem for you. And bring your focus to that one person. Maybe that person is even a kind of enemy to you, or a thorn in your side, or someone who is really hurting. Now bring that person to mind, and again, with the rhythm of your breath, bathe that person with your breath, with the loving kindness coming out from your heart. If they're a problem to you, you can forgive them now. If there's someone who's really suffering, really in a dangerous place, you can give to them special focus of love, of warm, embracing devotion. Your straightforward openness. Now taking a deep breath, come back to your own body and mind as it is. And again, bring your attention, your loving attention, to your own body and mind. And bathe your own body and mind with the rhythm of your breath. And settle yourself. Bring peace to yourself. Enjoy yourself. Just as it is, just as you are. Well, how did it go? He always talked about love, even when he didn't talk about love.
This is just to say he loved everybody, just some people were a wee bit harder to love.
Would anyone like to share any thoughts about this topic? Have a question, or just want to shout?
Well, I think one of the things that I always think, you know, Zen practice, and for me, it's all about awareness. When I'm fully can accept whatever that feeling is, to me, that be for myself. But I can fully accept and love myself no matter what I'm feeling. A lot of times we get into like, I should feel this way. I should be happy, kind, polite, and I should mean or all those other things that comes up, but it's a full path. All of those parts of myself, and love all those parts of myself. And then when
I think that bargain mind is interesting, if I may speak, because it's definitely a short range sort of a tactic, but it's definitely how a lot of relationships get started. Without the bargaining, you wouldn't really have it. You know, people are looking get something from somebody else when they come to you. And if it just goes that far, then it probably won't last. But it's kind of necessary to get started in most cases. You don't come to sit because you're happy. So anyway, bargains are part of the deal.
I heard a teacher say once that there's a basic paradox. The basic paradox or contradiction in our lives is that we need to own ourselves. We need to be self-possessed. We need our independence, you know, biologically from our parents. We need our freedom, and we need to be totally independent independent beings, and we absolutely need the confirmation of another. It's an interesting place we're in. We need to assert ourselves and be completely independent and free and not dependent, and yet we're absolutely, totally involved with everyone else and need to be confirmed and affirmed by others. What a strange situation this is.
I agree with that, actually. He had this way of walking, you know, people, their heel doesn't quite touch the ground. And I wanted to be affirmed. Narrative came to mind when I met this. I don't know why, but I really wanted to know her and love myself, my feelings, is to not to live completely without wanting to have anything in return loving for me. It's not getting affirmed.
I think when sometimes when parents have children and take care of children for many years, that return of affirmation sometimes takes a while, like 25 years or so. Then you can say, thanks, Mom, or something like that. It sounds like it's working.
That guided meditation that you had us do.
Is what?
I was just saying that guided meditation that you had us do afterwards, kind of asked everyone how it was really hard for me.
Hard? Huh?
The more the guided meditation went on, like the angrier I got.
Angry at what? At the imposition of having to do a guided meditation?
No, it was like I didn't know. I just couldn't do it.
Sometimes your body knows more than your mind does. It's hard to tell. You may have. With the guided meditation and just your acknowledgement of your struggle too, you may have opened yourself up in a new way, a useful way. Or not. At any rate. It's our lunch bell. Huh?
One more question.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure if this is a good question to answer, but is having a merchant mind necessarily bad? Because sometimes I think for you to love, you need to first to know what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Right away, when you said that, I was thinking about how, in a certain sense, like we receive love from our parents, right? And we kind of learn the language or the path of love. I don't think that's necessarily, though, a merchant's mind. A merchant's mind is actually the mind of acquisition and possession. Okamura, this wonderful Zen teacher, compared it to Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple. The temple of the mind, the temple of our life, should be open and empty, not full of business. It's not for business, you know. It's for love. It's not for business. So business does go on, and having an acquisition mind and wanting to acquire and be, and having the sense of possession and the fear and so on that goes with it is, well, it's part of our life. But that's a good question, because I see where you're coming from, that it's, in a certain sense, it's sort of built into us in a way, you know, into our survival mechanism, into getting our needs met and so on. So we have to acknowledge that as well. Yeah. And yet, you know, it's not that a sense of love disappears that, but that it opens it, so it isn't held as something separate. Maybe. Actually, to that point, maybe we could close. Are there any other questions? This ties in so much with what you talked about last time, doesn't it? Yeah, you brought this up. This is our spring theme here, I guess. The teacher, the Triratna teacher, also shared a poem. It's kind of a spring poem, and it has to do with this theme. And maybe we can close with this. It's a poem by Galloway Connell. Do you know Galloway Connell? He died a few years ago. Really, really good poet. So it starts with the bud, like the budding of a tree. So the bud. It's called Saint Francis and the Sow. And it's about. It's also about a pig, so just to give you fair warning. So, Saint Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch it is lovely, until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As Saint Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and touch blessings of earth on the sow, and the sow began remembering all down her thick length from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the sheer blue milken dreaminess spurting and shuddering, from the 14 tits into the 14 mouths sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of sow. Galway Canal.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.